Good morning. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1 will be where we start reading this morning. The theme of our study is verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now we go back to chapter 6, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly. Our Father in heaven. Father, we pray for your blessings today as we look into your word. God, our thoughts, God, our actions, all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right. Title of the message today, of course, don't be a hypocrite. And that's where we're going to start. We're going to start today with the hypocrite and your understanding of what that means. But I want to, in introduction to that, I want you to take a look at verse 1. That phrase, take heed. I want you to understand that meaning, because so often we just skip the little phrases, the little words like that, and we don't stop to think about why they said that. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, take heed. A lot of translations, or actually most translations, say beware. And I think that's perhaps a little more accurate in what we're looking for. The idea of that word is be warned. This is a warning. Be careful. Pay a particular close attention to. And this is not a beware, God's going to get you type beware. This is a beware, because if you don't take great caution here, you'll fall into this trap. And if you fall into this trap, as we see later, you'll suffer great loss. So beware. Do not practice your righteous deeds to be seen by men. You say, oh, and I don't have a problem with that. Really? I want us to stop and really, really consider what that all means, okay? And when it says that you do not your righteous deeds to be seen, that word seen is a very interesting word in that it comes from the Greek theomai, where we get theater or theatric, okay? And the idea is, of course, a show, a program. The second word I'm going to call your attention to is the word hypocrite. Now, that word hypocrite, of course, the Greek is Hippocrates, and we use it all wrong. Most people, when they think of the word hypocrite, they think, well, that's somebody who says one thing and does another thing. No, that's not what the word hypocrite means. Somebody who says one thing, does another, he's just a liar, right? This is a hypocrite. And the word hypocrite literally means actor. Okay? And the idea is the hypocrite plays a part in a play. Now, the warning here is, of course, that you do not be a hypocrite, a actor in a theater or stage, on stage, to present a program for everybody to see. That's the point. So let's talk about hypocrites. Let's talk about Hollywood hypocrites first, right? Now, this isn't a bash on Hollywood. We'll do that another time. But when you think of the Hollywood actors, what do you think of? Let's think of Tom Cruise. When you think Tom Cruise, what do you think of? Top Gun. I heard Top Gun. I know he's played in a lot of other movies, and you know, but when I think Tom Cruise, I think fighter pilot. This guy is the extraordinary top dog fighter pilot in the U.S. Navy. You know what? Tom Cruise has never served a day in the United States military. Now, he is a pilot, according to the internet. The internet's always right, you know. He is a pilot. He has his multi-engine rating, but he is not a fighter pilot. But he's so good at acting. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Now, if you're my age, you know, let's get a little more real. There's the John Wayne. Now, when I think of John Wayne, I think of Rooster Cogburn. U.S. Marshal traveling the Oklahoma Territory, killing the bad guys. John Wayne was never a marshal in his life. I don't even think he was a cowboy. He sat a horse pretty well. But he was so good at what he did. This is the image that's in my mind. And quite honestly, it's the image that's in a lot of people's mind. Now, there's nothing wrong with being an actor in a play. The problem is when it sneaks in to the spiritual realm. And if you're not real careful, it will sneak into the spiritual realm. Because there are religious hypocrites. There have always been religious hypocrites. In Jesus' day, the religious hypocrites were who? They were the scribes and the Pharisees, right? Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 describes these scribes and Pharisees. It says, but all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. Now, what does that mean? Well, phylacteries were little boxes that they would wear on their forearms or on their forehead. And it had scriptures, it had a few key scriptures in there. So that they'd look more and more spiritual, they'd make those little boxes big boxes so that you could see them coming and say, wow, there comes a spiritual guy. He's holy. The borders of their garments, they were required according to the law to have tassels on the corners of their garments. Well, they didn't just have tassels. They had tassels. All the more to convince the people that they were the spiritual excellence of their age. The problem was that Jesus knew who they were. They could fool others, but they could not fool Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus exposed them. Again, in Matthew 23, he talked about them. They'd tell people to do one thing, but they themselves would not practice what they preached. They love to be honored and go to the seats and the places to be honored, the feast and in the synagogues. Oh, they would eat that up. They love to be called rabbi. Oh, teacher, they would say. But Jesus He tore them up in Matthew chapter 23. If you read that chapter, he says in verse 27, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Again, what's that word, hypocrite? Actor. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, actors. For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. See, the problem is not what's on the outside. Most people can dress up and or clean up and dress up and look pretty good on the outside. Most people know how to play the religious game. We stand up and sing a song. We sit down and sing a song. We all know that we always stand up on the last verse of the song so that we can receive the offering, right? We all know how to do the outside, but what about the inside? Why are you here today? why did you come? I mean, let's be honest, okay? Because you can fool me, and I can fool you. But Jesus knows what's on the inside. And if you do not deal with the inside, you are nothing more than an actor in a play. So you have to ask yourself the question, why do I serve? Why do I attend? Why do I give? Because if you're not really, really careful, you will do all these things to just simply support the image that you want people to see, instead of the God you want to honor. That's what this is all about today. He said, Brother Doug, I thought this was going to be about giving. Oh, it is about giving. It is. But you see, I've told you thus far not to give to the building program. Probably the only building program in history that was ever started and the pastor told his people, don't give. But I don't want you to give until you get it right on the inside. Because if you don't get it right on the inside, you will not experience the blessings that God has prepared to give you. That's what this is all about. It's getting the inside ready. And so to get the inside ready, we've got to ask ourselves, am I acting or am I real? And part of answering that question is check your trumpets. Hypocrites have trumpets. Okay? That's why Jesus said in verse 2, he said, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites or the actors do. What are the trumpets of the actors? Well, there's the, first of all, there's the incentive trumpets. Have you ever seen, there's always been a competition for your money. There is a competition raging today for your money. And as part of this competition, people have had to come up with ways to encourage you to give them your money. It went on in Jesus' day. As a matter of fact, according to some of the history that I was reading, the Pharisees came up with a wonderful way. It was that they would, for substantial givers, you know, not just the ones who couldn't afford the big gifts, they just give. But, you know, for those really good givers, they would sound trumpets. Now, I've heard this applied so many different ways, but what I've read is that they would even have a parade of trumpets for you as you were marching to the synagogue. Can you imagine? You're surrounded by some religious Pharisees, and they're blowing the trumpets. And the reason they're blowing the trumpets is to say, look at this guy. Man, he is a giver. We're going to the synagogue so he can give. And everybody looks and says, wow. He's a rich guy. He's given big bucks. And they could admire that guy. Jesus saying, don't sound the trumpets. Don't sound the trumpets. Second thing I read concerning the trumpets that the Pharisees did, that they had these little silver trumpets. Exhibition trumpets, if you will. Little silver trumpets that when they would give to the poor, they wouldn't just go out on the street and secretly give to the poor. The Pharisees would take their little silver trumpets and they would go out and they would just blow that little silver trumpet as loud as they could. And it was saying, come one, come all to the poor, you know. Y'all, come on, you're great benefactors here. I'm going to give you money. And they would just swell up with pride as the poor would line up. And they would dole out their money and be charitable to those poor, unfortunate people. You see, they didn't care about those poor, unfortunate people. They cared about blowing the trumpet to attract attention so that people would say, wow, he's a spiritual guy. Look at what he's given to those poor people. But none of us are like that, right? Oh, yes, we are. We all have little trumpets, don't we? We all have trumpets. For example, how many times have you sat in the church and sitting on the back of the pew, you've read, "This pew was donated in honor of." You know what that is? That's a trumpet. That's what it is. Well, now, Brother Doug, there's nothing wrong with it. That's a trumpet. It's declaring your giving so that everybody in the future can see who that pew was provided by. Buildings. Buildings that, you know, they build football stadiums and basketball stadiums and buildings and that bear the name of the largest contributor. This is the, I'm not going to use any names because I don't need to. You know what I'm talking about. It just declares the name of the biggest giver. Oh, but they're not the only ones that have the trumpets. What about us? We can be very casual about blowing our own trumpets, can't we? You ever been in a crowd just looking for that opportunity to let them know that you gave to an offering? Yeah, I'm just waiting for my church check to go through that I gave to the building fund. I gave it 2 weeks ago, but it hadn't gone through the bank. I don't know what they're doing. You ever seen that? What are you doing? That's a little toot. A little toot on the trumpet so that people will know you gave to that building program. Oh, but we even do it for service. You know? You ever heard somebody say, "Yeah, I spent a week with the kids at church camp. Oh, I'm so tired." Keep on blowing. We want people to know. And that's the danger. Because when we start blowing our trumpet, according to the text that we read, that's our reward. When you blow that trumpet, as a matter of fact, you forfeit your reward. Because motivation matters. The reason that you're doing what you're doing matters. And if we read in the text, you'll notice that there is a reward for the hypocrite. You know what it is? It's being seen. There in verse 1, at the end of verse 1, it says, first of all, they have no reward from the Father in heaven. God's not going to give them anything. Why? Because in end of verse 2, he says, assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. They received what they wanted from doing what they did. As a matter of fact, that word reward is really interesting. When it's used in the first two verses, the Greek word is misthos. And it means to pay and give a receipt for services rendered. It's literally what it means. It's the hypocrites, you know, the actors, they do their thing and they've been noticed and they've been recognized for doing their thing. And God says, paid in full, there's your receipt. I owe you nothing. You did it for the praise of man. Man praised you. The debt's paid. I want more than that. How about you? I want it to be deeper than that. You see, there is a reward for the hypocrite, but there's also a reward for the righteous, the one who does it right. Verse 3 describes it as, when you do your charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That really doesn't make sense, does it? It does. The right hand being the dominant hand. It's some people think it was a Jewish idiom that just simply meant that it's done with such freedom that you don't even stop and think about it. You just give and meet that need. That there's no regret. That you don't look back and say, you know, don't they know how much I've given them in the past? That there's none of that. That it's just a freedom you gave and you've dismissed it. Now you go on, look for another opportunity to contribute to God's kingdom again. It's that mentality. And where it really gets interesting is in verse 4. It says that your charitable deed may be done in secret. Now, I've heard people, and every translation translates this secret. I wish they hadn't, because this actually has a double meaning. It does mean secret or hidden in some places, but it also means inward and inmost. You could say there in verse 4 that your charitable deeds be on the inside or from the inside. That your Father who sees the inside will Himself reward you openly. Actually, most of the translations leave the word openly out. It's in most of the text, it's not in there. But the idea is not that you're being secretive. The idea is that you're giving very simply from the heart because you love the Lord. That's it. That's it. And where it gets even more interesting is there in verse 4, where he talks about the reward. That reward, the Greek word is not the same as before. Remember, I told you it's paid in full. Here in verse 4, when it says the Father's reward, that word, the Greek word, is apodidomi. It means to give back. It paints a different picture. He's not paying you for a service rendered. He's rewarding you because you have honored Him. Have you ever heard people say you can't outgive God? That's kind of the mentality where it comes from. You see, I can serve and I can build this image and you can, and I could worry about, you know, what you see and that, that brother Doug, he's a holy man. Man, he's spiritual and he's always, and I can just dedicate everything that I am to this image that you see. And I've received my reward or the payment for the wages or the wages for the work that I've done. God's saying, why do you settle for that when I want to reward you? When it's the same mentality that Luke 6:38 says. It says, given and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now imagine this. If I'm doing it to bear this image before you and you say, well, Brother Doug, you're just such a great guy. And I say, thank you. And I stick out my chest and ooh, then everybody's happy. How shallow. But when I preach because I love Jesus, when I serve because I love Jesus, when I sing because I love Jesus, and when I give because I love Jesus, because He gave everything He was so that I could have eternal life, when it's all based upon my love for Jesus, that's when Jesus says, now you're ready to be rewarded. Now God is going to bless you. You see, that's all I want you to get from today's message. Okay? As we go into this building ministry, not really worried about amount. We're going to, you know, down the road a little bit, we're going to have some prayer time. And as a church, we're going to come together and ask for God's guidance on God, what do you want me to give. We're going to do that a little bit later on. But you see, right now we've got to get ready. And getting ready does not mean raising money. Getting ready means getting right on the inside. Before we can get there, we've got to start here. You see, today and in this next week, I want to ask us as a church to adopt David's prayer. You remember when David had sinned? He had committed a great sin, it is adultery and murder. And in Psalms 51, he cried out to the Lord. And you remember what he cried? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. What we need more than anything right now as we move forward as a church is a clean heart and a steadfast spirit. Lord, fix my heart. Take the things out that shouldn't be there. Put the things in there that should. Wash me, forgive me of my sin, and you know, and deal with the sin. But just focus on the heart. Because that, my friends, is what matters to God. You know, you cannot impress God. There's nothing that you have that's good enough for God. There's nothing that you can do that's worthy of God. And I say that, boy, you know, and it's an opportunity to brag, but I'm going to brag a little bit, man. That it is well with my soul, just bless me. And I don't mean to brag. Because she's my wife. And Missy, the signing, it just blessed me. And I was sitting there thinking, Lord, this is what I'm about today. Shoot for the heart, Lord. Change me on the inside. Create in me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me. Friends, you may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need heart surgery. See, Jesus Christ knows that you're a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the good news is that even though you're a sinner, God still loves you. And Jesus has paid for your sin. What do you mean, Brother Doug? Jesus paid for my sin. He took your punishment to the cross of Calvary where He was crucified on your behalf to pay for your sin. And today, He says, come unto me. You who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me. But you have to understand, you have to come. The ball's in your court. Jesus has done everything for you. So that all you have to do is ask. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you're not saved, let's let Jesus do heart surgery. If you're here today, you are saved, and you're a little bit distant. You know, the heart's not quite right. Let's pray David's prayer. The staff's going to be up here. They'd love to pray for you, pray with you, or the altar's open. I leave it in your court. It's between you and Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We come to you today praying for a new heart, a clean heart, a revived heart, a heart that is so focused upon you that everything else is not important. A heart that has a desire to follow you wherever you may lead. And now, Lord, create us, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, that we may honor you through our giving and through our service. In Jesus' name.